Welcome to Wired for Wealth, the podcast for ambitious people with a wild side. If you feel there's way more to your vision for success than just the money, and you want to create a life of financial freedom and fulfillment where joy comes first, then you're in the right place. I'm Abby Rogers, therapist, mentor, and expert on all things mindset, subconscious, and manifestation. And I'm here to help you create anxiety-free, stress-free freedom and wealth that aligns with your soul. Let's dive in. So I am delighted to have with me today Patty Farmer, the founder of the Marketing, Media and Money magazine and podcast, international coach and speaker, and she helps decision makers, action takers and rule breakers to not only think outside the box, but kick that box to the curb and build their businesses their way on their terms. And I pinched that from her website and I love it. It's so good. Also, scrolling down a little bit further, I saw that she has 110,000 connections, 389 profitable clients, 237 events produced, 392 interviews, and she's drunk 12,505 cups of coffee along the way. My kind of girl. So welcome. I hope that's a good introduction. And we're here today to talk about leveraging the media. We'd love to know a little bit about you, Patty, and what you do and how you got there first. So if you want to fire away.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here and stuff. So, you know, it's always really great when people ask you not just what you do or who you serve, but how you got there, because that's always like the key thing, right? How did you get there? So it's kind of nice to sometimes be able to look back along the way and say, well, how exactly did I get here, right? You know, so I would say that how I got where I am right now was a fork in the road, really. My business for most of my adult life really was I was in the mortgage industry and I was a realtor and I owned my own mortgage company. But then in 2008, here in the United States anyway, we had the mortgage meltdown. And luckily for me, two things happened at that time, which changed the trajectory of my career, which was that my husband moved. Well, he actually got a job offer. We moved to Dallas, Texas. And that happened literally a month before the mortgage meltdown. So I sold my mortgage company just in the nick of time. So I showed up in Dallas and I didn't know one single person, literally sat there while I waited for furniture to be delivered and had a kind of a little bit of a pity party. I think we all have had that happen where I thought, oh my goodness, what am I doing? I don't know one single person in the Dallas Metroplex, which is a metroplex of millions and millions of people. And after I had that pity party for a few seconds, I got up and I said, Patty, you're not in the business to business. You're not in business to consumer. You're not B2B or B2C. You're P2P. You're in the people business. So I got up and I took a sticky note and I wrote 100,000 and I stuck it on the refrigerator. And when my husband got home, he said, what is this? And I said, I made a decision today that I live in a place where I don't know anyone and I am going to know 100,000 people and I'm going to make $100,000 and I'm going to do it in a year. Amazing. I did it in 9 months. And the reason I was able to do it was because I knew I needed to get in front of as many people as I could. And I needed to use every platform I could. Now, the good thing is when I had my mortgage company, I also owned a marketing company. And so I owned both of those businesses simultaneously. So while the mortgage company sort of died that day, the marketing company and the media company was born. And so in that day, was the day that my whole life changed. And I am so very thankful because now I'm blessed to do what I always should have been doing and what I love. And that was like 20 years ago. So
it's amazing how sometimes that push comes along and just propels us into what we were always supposed to do. And they always say when one door closes, another door opens. And sometimes it just really focuses on that thing that's meant to be, doesn't it? So, wow.
It is. And I think sometimes what happens, and that was really a good example, because I think sometimes when that door closes and the window opens, we have a tendency to sit and look at the window. We sit and look at the window and we're like, what are we supposed to do like with this window, right? But I think that sometimes that's kind of the most exciting part, really, is not knowing what that looks like, but being brave enough and not worrying about it and just stepping through and saying, I don't know what's on the other side, but we control our own destiny, and we always have, and follow our heart and listen to our gut, and I think it will work.
Yeah, beautiful. I love a good analogy, and that's just the perfect one as well. So thank you for that. So media has been a really big part of your business along the way, and how has it helped you then and since then?
Well, I think that the two big things, like, I think for me, everything that has happened has been that kind of a decision that we just kind of talked about. The two biggest things for me was that I decided to publish a magazine and I decided to become a speaker, right? Both of those were media pieces, and both of them happened for a reason. Not either of them were things that I had thought about doing. The magazine was born because I didn't want to blog. Like, I was blogging every week. You know, they always tell you, make sure you blog. That's so important.
Yeah.
And I just didn't like doing it. And one of the things I tell my clients all the time as a marketing strategist is, if there is something you really don't like to do, then don't do it. It's like when you go to the gym. It's like when you go to the gym and you're like, you know what? I don't like doing pushups. Right? Well, guess what? There are a lot of other exercises you can do that'll work that muscle. So if there's one you don't like, just don't do that one. And so I decided for myself that I don't want to blog. So I said, oh, I'm going to publish a magazine. Now I only have to write every quarter instead of every week, which was a lot easier. That was 5 years ago. We just celebrated our 5-year anniversary of the magazine. And in 5 years, we have over 175,000 subscribers. So that one decision where I said, oh, I don't want to blog, was another game changer. And the other one that was the biggest game changer was speaking. Now, I'd always been a trainer. I'd always done that, right? You know, but the idea of getting up on a stage with a microphone, that like terrified me, as it does most people. They say it's like one of the top feared things that people don't like to do. So I was terrified to do it. Yeah. But then again, very briefly, I had a friend who had a speaker step out, and she asked me if I would come and speak. And I said, no, I don't want to be a speaker. That isn't something I don't want to do. And she just kept asking and kept asking. And finally she just said, Patty, like, talk about networking. Like, that's how you, you know, built your business. You could talk about that for 30 minutes. Yeah. And I was like, okay. So I did it as a favor. And when I got there to speak, she said to me, oh, Patty, I need you to speak for an hour, not 30 minutes. And I was like, what? And she said, oh, and we're going to video you. And I was like, so totally freaked out. I really was. And she said, and try to be funny. And I'm like, what? I'm not funny. So there were all these things that I was literally worried about. And I thought, to be totally honest, my biggest fear was that I thought I had to be eloquent and I needed to wear like a soap opera dress. And all of these things were going through my mind. But when I did it, after I actually went in the bathroom and got sick first, so I will say that. So everybody out there who's thinking, oh my gosh, I could never do it, I actually literally got sick before I did it. But when I did, there were only 46 people in the room. So it wasn't like I had was, you know, standing in front of hundreds. But at the end of that talk, 37 people came and asked me if they could hire me.
Wow.
37 out of 46. And on that day, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to become a really great speaker.
Yeah.
And within 2 weeks after that, and me just, I had an enormous network at that point. And I told everybody, I want to speak anywhere you want me to speak. And I got my first speaking engagement in England, internationally, 2 weeks later. And I became an international speaker in the first 30 days. So those two things changed everything for me. And I think the moral of that story, so just to make sure I close the loop for your audience, is it's all about saying yes and stepping into it, right? You don't have to have everything perfect. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I already had this speech and I already was going to do this and I was already going to do that. I served from my heart. I spoke from my heart, shared what I was my genius, right? And I said yes. And that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times people think there's this big plan, all this stuff you have to do. That's not true. Just be authentic. People know a BS story when they hear one, right? Just speak from your heart and serve, not sell. That's my motto. Serve, not sell.
Beautiful. Take those opportunities. I love that, because that for me brings up something that I talk about with my clients a lot as well. And Going back to the magazine, you said it's really important to do things that feel good to you and don't feel like they drain you and suck the life out of you, and, you know, make it work for you. If that's creating something that nobody else has done before, go do that thing, give it a try. But also, don't run away from opportunities just because you're telling yourself that I couldn't do that and I'm a bit scared of that. So try everything once, maybe, at least, before you reject it in its entirety, because it's very easy to just write things off and say, I'll never do that, that's not me at all. And sometimes it's just that we haven't quite connected with it, or we've not given it a fair go. So I think it's a bit of both of those things, isn't it? It's really being aligned, but also just not being afraid to try new things and give them a go and see what happens.
And I think too, the thing that we should remember is, if you're an entrepreneur or a business owner, you work for yourself, mm-hmm. which basically means you're not signing a commitment. If you try doing something,
yeah,
and you know, you do it four times or five times and you're like, you know what, even if you're having some success with it, if your gut says, you know what, I just don't like doing this, this doesn't align with me, or it's not something I want to do, then stop doing it.
Yeah,
like, you don't have to do it, right? You know, so I always like to tell my clients when I'm working with them to start things in small things. So that way there is a beginning and an end. Like, for example, sometimes my clients will be, oh, Patty, I want to have a podcast. Okay, well, podcasts have a very low barrier of entry. It's very, very easy to start if you want to start. But you don't have to make this big commitment to having this podcast. You can start with something else smaller. You can just say, oh, I'm going to do a 4-week interview series. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? At the end of that 4 weeks, you're like, oh, I didn't really like doing that. Or that was a lot more difficult to promote than I thought it was going to be. Or it was more time consuming, or whatever the case may be. Yeah. Well, guess what? You did something. You had a beginning. You had an end. You might get to the end of that and say, oh my gosh, I love doing that. And now your next one will be 12 weeks, and then maybe it'll be a podcast. So you just have to remember that we work for ourselves. We don't have to commit to doing anything at any given time. We could say, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about finding those things that you really do enjoy and you can do for the longer term, isn't it? And that aren't going to suck the life out of you. Which kind of segues nicely into my next question, because many of the people listening to the podcast today will be feeling very much as though they have to keep showing up on social media, they have to promote their business that way, they're tied to it, and they feel like trying things like PR and wider streams of promotion, it's just something that's not available to them, or it's only for big businesses. So I'm guessing you can help us debunk that myth and tell us a few truths. So fire away.
Sure. I think the name of the game, if I was going to share one thing, I say it comes to this, and there's many ways to do it, and I will share a few, but the name of the game is getting in front of other people's people. That's the name of the game. You know, people talk about, oh, I want a speaking gig or speaking op, you know, or I'm looking for ops, which usually stands for opportunities, right? Yep. But for me, op, OPP, stands for other people's people. That's the biggest opportunity that there is out there. And there's many, many ways to do it. Some on social, some not on social. You know, if you're out in any way, shape or form networking, I think this is one of the things, and I'm actually going to tell you a way, and I'm going to tell you a solution too. Ooh. So I'm very solution oriented. That's who I am. So a lot of times people will network, whether they're at a networking group online or in person, or whether they're just doing Zoom calls with someone. What I see a lot is at the end of that call, when they're wrapping up, right? And they will say, you know, I would really love to serve and support you. How can I help you? Mm-hmm. And you're always prepared with what you're going to do for them. You're like, oh, well, you know, I listened to you and I'll introduce you to such and such, or whatever they were talking about, right? Mm-hmm. But then they'll say to you, well, how can I help you? And then all of a sudden they're not prepared. They're like, oh, well, I don't know how you could help me, right? And, or they're so caught up in giving me a referral, like I want you to refer someone to me, that you just had a 15-minute conversation with and they don't know you well enough to refer somebody to you in reality, but they never have another backup. Yeah. And I think that is the biggest opportunity that is missed, because there are some ways and some things you can ask that pretty much everybody has. Like, for example, I think the easiest ask for anyone because you can have a conversation with somebody for 15 minutes and it's an easy ask. When somebody says, oh, what can I do for you? Literally, your easy ask should be, well, I'd like to be introduced to anyone you know who has a podcast, who doesn't know someone who has a podcast, or if you know of any podcasts that seem like they'd be a good fit for what we've talked about, can you just let me know? Because the reality is you can go to, if somebody tells you those podcasts, you can go find the podcast page and figure out how to be a guest all by yourself and pitch yourself. But podcasts are so easy and you get in front of other people's people if it's a good fit and you are willing to serve and support their audience, right? So it's an easy ask. I mean, I know hundreds of people who do podcasts, right? And so I can either do an intro for them if they want, or just tell them about them and say, oh, here's a great podcast. This would be a great podcast for you. And then tell them about them and they can do it. And then you do your homework, but you're not getting off that call going, oh, I don't know. Let me think about it. Can I get back with you? Right. So literally that is a really easy ask. A second ask that's really easy is if you've met them through networking in any way, shape or form, I always like to ask them, you know, I met you here networking. Where else do you network that has been effective for you? Like that has gotten you the best ROI. So really, we all network in more than one place. Nobody just does one thing, very rarely. And so what I want to know is, what else are they doing? And not just where else are you networking, but where else are you networking that it's effective, right? You know, if it's working for them and you have a rapport with them, well, maybe you should go check out that networking thing too, right? And then now you've already met somebody who can actually introduce you to a few other people. So I think that it is really easy to just ask questions that will get you in front of other people's people, or who do they know, right? And I think that not necessarily thinking about a referral, but instead thinking about an introduction, because an introduction is a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And we do so often not go into these things very, very well planned or with any ideas in mind. And it's just the first thing that pops into your head, isn't it? Is, oh, if you could refer anybody to me. But that's such a small strategy in a way. And it's just really, I love that point of building your network and just being useful to people as well.
It's all about There is a social media one, but it's more a social media one not to do.
Okay.
I love to teach people what to do and what not to do. Right. So, you know, a lot of times people are like, well, social media doesn't really work for me. Well, sometimes social media doesn't work for people. And sometimes it doesn't work for people because maybe they're not doing it as good as they could, right? So here is a ninja trick. When you're in Facebook groups, here's what people do a lot. I think you'll be able to say, yep.
You might know where you're
so going. If you have somebody will have a Facebook, somebody has a Facebook group and you're in that group, and then somebody will ask a question, right? Somebody will ask a question, oh, I'm looking for this. And then 500 people, you know, go in that thread and say, oh, I can help you with that. I can help you with that. So basically what you're doing is you're spending your time that you should be doing other things, trolling, that's what I call that, through Facebook groups, which really doesn't make sense to me. What makes more sense to me from a marketing point of view is when you find Facebook groups that you believe have your ideal clients or partners, whichever the case may be, the person that you need to introduce yourself to is the host. And if you introduce yourself to the host and say something like this, so believe me, almost every Facebook group has a marketing person in it, right? So I have been up against this a lot, but I always like to introduce myself to the host and say, yes, I'm in marketing and you probably have other marketing people in here, which I would love it if you would introduce me to them so I can see where maybe we can serve and support each other. Maybe there's a gap that we fill for each other. But most importantly, how do you feel that, what could I contribute to your group? You talk to that person, two things are going to happen. One, if there are other people in that group that are loyal to the person who does what you do, her endorsing you, so to speak, in the group will kind of get past that for them.
Yeah.
Second thing is, they're going to love that you did that so much that now they're going to say, oh, well, let me introduce you to XYZ. And that person knows all the people that are in their group. And they're going to introduce you to all of the best people. So instead of having to troll through, you build a relationship with the person who is the host. So it's just a better way to do social media. It kind of does what I like to say, puts the social back in social media.
It is. The more and more I'm around in social networking spaces, the more you see that it really just is all about relationship building and marketing strategy. There's lots of clever tips and tricks like that. I love that. But it boils down to relationships, doesn't it? At the end of the day, it's all about just building those connections. I love that.
It absolutely does. I always like to say, I've probably been quoted the most, to me, the only difference between a contact when you first meet someone mm-hmm. and a contract when you start working together is the R. That's the only difference between those two words, and that R stands for relationships, right? It's all about building the relationships, because I say it doesn't matter what technology does. We have so many things in the technology world, but they will never replace the relationships we build, ever.
No, absolutely. Wonderful. So going back to using those wider streams of promotion, using PR, using other networking methods, how can people use this to help them run their businesses more easily and without a drain on their time and energy and resources? Because I think often people are so scared that if I try something else as well as what I'm doing now, that's going to really steal my time and I don't have enough time as it is. How could it maybe even save them time and money and energy?
I think the number one thing is to ask yourself two questions. The first question is, what am I looking to achieve if I do this? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the goal? Mm-hmm. Right? You know, because if you know what the goal is, then you kind of can be very intentional. That's what's important. That's the second thing, is be intentional in everything you do. Like, for example, if you're going to a networking event, we'll just say, and there's 100 people there, well, rather than be the person who's trying to go around and stuff, you know, a business card in everybody's hand, right? You know, and meet 100 people, maybe your goal is that I want to meet 5 really great people. So this way, you don't feel like if you're in a good conversation with somebody, oh my gosh, I'm only going to be here for 40 more minutes and I've only talked to 6 people, yeah. Right? You know, be intentional and just set a goal and then be intentional about what it is with that goal. Mm-hmm. And that could be anywhere across the board, social, not social, where you are in a Zoom meeting, right? You know, is really thinking about that intention. You know, a lot of times when you're on Zoom calls and meetings, you know, there's the chat and you can save the chat. And, you know, everybody has been, I like to say, throwing up in the chat, giving you all this information, right? I just save the chat. And then when I'm done, I set aside some time after to kind of go through that and look at the people and see who were the people. And then I just reach out and say, you know what, we were just on this Zoom chat. And while we weren't in a breakout room together,
yeah,
I was actually intrigued by your LinkedIn profile, this or that, right? You know, and I would love for us to, you know, jump on a call. Are you interested in that? I think that that goes a lot longer to just be intentional in your time.
Yeah.
Right. Rather than just kind of spreading a wide net, you know, close the gap a little bit, because your time and energy are very important.
Yeah.
And I think deciding what that criteria is, that's the second thing, is I have a set of criteria for myself. Everybody's will be different of what I will say yes to, because your answer is always yes, no, or no, not now.
Mm-hmm.
That's your answers, right? And so for me, I had to come up with criteria that I would look at, because I used to be one of those people that would agonize over the answer. I wouldn't be able to, you know, I would just be like, but what about that? You know, I would do that. And so now I just literally ask myself these questions. And once I answer those questions, and that helps me to guide me to be yes, no, no, not now. And really, when you have to say no, sometimes no is a complete sentence, right? That's mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it really isn't no. It is just no, not now. You don't have the capacity for that right now. And that's okay to say, you know what, this is really interesting, but I have to say no right now. I don't have the capacity to serve you at the level that I know I can. But like, I'd love to stay in the loop, and please, you know, come back to me with a different opportunity. And I think people will respect that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the way you say it, isn't it? It's not what you say. Fantastic. So, being really intentional, being really thoughtful about where you're spending that time and energy. And yeah, I see so much, again, online people just showing up consistently because they think they should be consistent, or they're turning up in all the, let's say, local promotional groups if they're working locally, and just kind of advertising rather than building those relationships. So I love what you say there in terms of, how can I really connect with 5 people here instead of just showing up every week and putting my thing out, like making it count is so important.
I also think that the name of the game is, if you are meeting people, I will tell you, here's a tip. I have a 100% success rate on people showing up for calls with me, 100%. And people will be like, really? And I'm like, yes, but I had to perfect it. And I have a follow-up, not a follow-up, but a confirmation. And this is what it is. So I'll share it. Because the punchline is what's the best. So here's what I'll say. So say you and I were going to be meeting at a coffee place, or maybe even it was a Zoom call. It doesn't actually have to be in person, but I will always send a confirmation. And I would literally say to somebody, so Susie, you know, I just want to confirm that on Friday, we're still meeting for coffee at 10.
Yeah.
Could you please do me a favor? And when you send back the email confirming, could you please tell me just a few people you would love to be introduced to? And here's the punchline. And then I say, the reason I'm asking is so this way, between now and Friday, I have a chance to go through my database. And if I know any of them, I'll bring them with me to do an introduction for. Who isn't going to show up now? Like, of course they're going to, right? And now you have the time. And here is where your kind of litmus test is. They should, when they, now they don't always, but that tells you something, right? Everything tells you something. I will say 98% of the time when they write back to me, they'll be like, oh, wow, Patty, nobody's ever asked me that before. I love that. You know, who's a good introduction for you? Who are you looking to? Now, when you show up on that call, guess what? You're not spending all that time. Oh, how many kids do you have? And oh, what kind of dog is that I hear in the background? You know, you're not spending your time doing that. Yeah. I feel like when I have a relationship with you and I'm building a relationship, I want to know about your kids and your dog and all that stuff. That's important to me as we build a relationship. But if I don't even know if I'm going to have a second conversation with you, what I really want to know is, tell me about you, of what we can do together. So I know whether I want to have that second conversation, right? So now, by asking that question, you have a lot better conversation when you get together. Now there's like that confirmation is there, and it's a much more dynamic conversation because now you know what to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. Very smart. Love it. So what's the best way for somebody who has no experience around this to get started basically in leveraging the media and making those relationships count?
Okay, so I'll give you one that's on social, one that's not. So the one on social would be to do a search for Facebook groups that meet your audience, and then just to pick two. Just pick two, dip your toe, follow what I said before about look at the host, talk to the host and see, and do it for a week. If it's not the right one, if you don't feel like, you know, just kind of watch and see, do people really post? Is it an active group or is it just got a lot of people in it? Because how many people are in it is not indicative to whether it'll be good for you. It's not more people, better results. It could be 100 people is better than 10,000 people, right? And then outside of that, what I would say is go to iTunes or any of those and put in a search of your industry or something around you and find all of the podcasts that are in your industry. Now, here's what I'm going to say. Don't go first to all the new and newsworthy ones or all the big name ones, because you're right. You're probably not going to get on those right away, right? Don't try to go to Gary Vee or whatever, because those ones probably you're not going to there. But scroll down till you find what I call micro influencers, right? And look at them and see. And then try to get on theirs. And then what you also might want to do is look, this is where people miss the boat, I think, is look at the other guests. And when you look at those other guests, they almost always have their website. So when you see them talking about something and you're thinking to yourself, well, I know about that. You could reach out to that podcast host and say, oh, you know, I saw that Jane Doe was on your podcast and she talked about this. I have a little bit of a different perspective, or I could add more to that. But they already thought that topic was good because they already had somebody on their podcast. So that's almost a shoo-in yes. And the other thing is, if you see somebody who talks about something opposite of you, or maybe it is something you do like, look at their website, and it will pretty much, people love to share on their website where else they have spoken or what other podcasts they're on. And look at them. Like, literally, if you do that one thing, it'll guide you to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. I think I did that for the first podcast, 100 podcasts I was on.
Yeah.
It was just like, just write a list, a spreadsheet, and then just tell yourself you're going to pitch five a week. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, by the time 3 months goes on, you'll have been all over the place, and it'll get easier and easier, because once people see that you've been on other podcasts, and now being on a podcast, you are in front of those other people's people, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just got to set that ball rolling, and then it starts to roll all by itself. And are there any kind of pitfalls you would say that we should look out for, that people listening should be aware of?
I think that if anybody's been listening to my questions and answers, it's you need to be prepared. These opportunities happen all the time.
Yeah.
And I always want to say, whatever question you're going to ask someone else, make sure you already have a really good prepared answer for it. Because a lot of times when you ask somebody a question, like for me, I never ask the question, what do you do? Because I feel like, and it has been proven to me, when you ask somebody what they do, they'll tell you and they'll keep telling you, and eventually they'll start selling. I don't ask anybody that. I change that question to, who do you serve? Because now it's not about them at all. It's about the people they serve. And if they tell you who they serve, you should know, well, I actually serve them too. Mm-hmm. And now that also changes the dynamic of the questions, right? So I feel like changing your questions. So when you start asking somebody, who do you serve? And they've only ever been asked, what do you do? Mm-hmm. For a second, they may be like, oh, I don't know how to answer that, which is kind of funny. And they may say, oh, well, you know what? That's a great question. You go first. Who do you serve? Because they haven't been asked that question, and they love the question, but they're not prepared for the question. Yes. So you be prepared. So when they say, oh, you go first, right? I'd love to hear your answer. You're like, knock it out of the ballpark. Right. So whatever those questions are, write them down and then know what your answers are going to be. Because I'm going to tell you, when you start talking to people in a way they haven't heard before, A, you're going to be very memorable. Your business card or your contact information is not going in the garbage. And two, they may not know, and you're going to stand out from the crowd, and your answer matters. Like, this is a platform for you to set the stage for excellence.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's all about just disrupting that normal pattern, isn't it? And making things stick with people in a good way. So last thing, question I always ask my guests before you go. So I'd just love to know what you might do differently in your business if you were to do it all again from the word go.
I would say I wouldn't do anything differently, but I would do everything sooner. So nothing different, but everything sooner. That's what I would absolutely say. I can't think of anything that I would change, but man, if I could have just moved it up 10 years, that would have been phenomenal.
Open that window and dive straight through it.
Yes.
That would have been good. Yeah. Yeah. We can spend a lot of time kind of wandering around the houses before we just jump straight into the thing, can't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. There's some wonderful tips there. I think everybody's going to really love those, and lots of keepers. So I think everybody needs to go back through this episode with a paper and pen and write down a few of your wonderful tips and take them away and start implementing them. But thank you so much, Patty. It's been great to see you today. Where can we find you? Where can everybody get more info about you and how you work?
So the best way to reach me is on my website, which is pattyfarmer.com, Patty with a Y. So my social's there. You can get the magazine is there. My podcast, every single thing is in that one place. So if they just go to pattyfarmer.com, they can get whatever it is that they are looking for.
Perfect. Love that. And I love your podcast as well. Firm favorite of mine at the moment. So enjoying that. Thank you so much, and take care.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Bye now.
Bye-bye.